B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Think that we think we're superstars.
Oh, no.
We get kicked in the reality nuts about once a week.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, and John Wallach. Why not trade for Juan Soto? Juan Soto, who turned down the big $400 million offer from the Washington Nationals. You'd get 1 year. You'd get this year, Bogarts, Devers, Soto, Martinez.
Yeah.
You get it. You trade for him. You got to probably take on, according to Peter Abraham, the Strasburg contract. So you're gonna be spending money there on a player who's not gonna play for you, and then why? I mean, you've built up this this farm system. 2.5 years of Juan Soto, I'm willing to give up a ton.
I'm all for. You were saying this would be fun if the Red Sox did this, but there are so many other obstacles in real life that would prevent them from doing it. That the excuses are there. Oh, we don't want to spend into the tax. Oh, we're building the farm system. You know, we don't want to empty out the farm system so soon. All of that nonsense. I would love Juan Soto here. I think it would be a lot of fun to add him. Now, will it bring you a World Series title this year with all these guys? I mean, your offense would be elite, but I don't know if you have enough pitching to get past everybody.
But if you were an owner in a multi-billionaire, isn't this the exact kind of thing that you'd want to do? Like,
if you're paying attention to your team, yeah. I think
if I owned a baseball team and I was sitting around, and what the hell does it matter to me? I've got money's liquid. I'd call Chaim Bloom and I'd be like, let's do it. Like, I would like to do this. I would like this. This is why I bought the team.
What is the last big dollar trade that they made that ended up working well for them outside of pitching?
Well, first of all, this isn't big dollar yet.
Well, I mean, but they're going to have to end up committing to, you know, $35 million a year for like 12 years or something.
No.
Fred's point is you would get Soto for this year and next year. That's
the year
what the
after.
Trade would be for. No, I think
you would make an decision.
No, it's two and a half
two
years.
More, it's a two more?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you get him for two and a half years.
All right, so you get him for 2.5 seasons before you have to pay him, and then you let him go as a free agent. That's Fred's point.
What does that cost? Like, what players does that cost?
That's going to cost you, well, it's going to cost you most of your minor league system and probably at least one really good major league player.
Okay, so you're thinking like
Maybe more.
I know everyone's been talking about Bayo.
Jason Mastrodonato kind of ran it down for us last hour. But you start with Bayo, you run through like Nick York, right? You just empty it all out, and there'd be an argument about Mayer. The Nationals would ask for Marcelo Mayer also,
and you might not have to do that.
And you'd feel safe doing that if it meant not signing him to an extension. Like you're saying, if you just, I know it's 2 years plus this
two,
one.
Two years plus this one. But yeah, I would feel, I mean, I would rather keep him around, but I mean, there's enough time remaining where it's not a waste of time. I mean, especially if you win a World Series and just the excitement.
Yeah.
I mean, you're bringing in a guy who, if these projections come true, is going to be a top 10 player of all time.
And don't forget, the numbers he has now is with little or no protection in that lineup. Can you imagine if you dropped him in the middle of Devers, Bogarts, and J.D. Martinez?
I mean, he's tracking to be Ted Williams. I mean, he's tracking to be an all-time player. And the opportunity, if I was an owner of a big market team and a multi-billionaire, the attraction of saying, Because that's the whole reason to get the team, right? Is to say, like, I had, like, one of the top 10 best players of all time on my roster. Like, when they're doing the new Ken Burns documentary, they'll go, like, you know, yes. And, you know, and I saw Juan Soto in Fenway Park.
They'd have it, yeah, he'd, you know, Ken Burns would submit a chapter just about you for organizing all of this talent.
Yeah, well, I mean, so, but you would reflect back on your life and your owning of the team. And you would, you know, and I saw young Juan Soto roam the outfield of Fenway. Like, it's why you buy the team.
But I guess
have a little fun.
I agree with you, and it would be fun. And, you know, all of us, I think, root for the story, and that would be a big one. But do you think that this ownership is going to take a look at this year and go, well, this year's a lost year?
Ownership will never do this.
No, they're not going to do it, and they're not going to re-sign Devers. They're just not going to do it.
Now, that's crazy. Now, the Devers thing, because we've all talked about how the Xander Bogaerts thing seems like it's not going to happen, but you would truly have to be insane to not sign Rafael Devers.
Yeah. They believe that it takes a village.
This GM, I too believe that you absolutely positively must re-sign Rafael Devers, but this GM is, you used the word tracking. I mean, he's tracking towards running this team the way that they run the Tampa Bay Rays. Everyone is expendable, no mammoth contracts. If you can get a guy to sign a long-term deal as a young player for little or no money, like, not no money, but little money, like Wander Franco, then you do it. But other than that, you continue to churn through the minor league system. You know, there's always another guy right behind him. That's what it seems like the Red Sox are trying to do here.
And, you know, I hear all the hand-wringing and over the weekend when people insisted on talking about sports for their full shows, just the bitching and griping about the Red Sox. I just think that if I own the team, and this is precisely why I bought the team, is to make a move like this. It's to shake things up, to have some fun with it. Like, it doesn't seem like John Henry has any fun owning this team. He's bitching about he doesn't need this team. He doesn't need sell it. You made, you know, you know, 10 times the money you paid for it or whatever the hell, maybe even more. I don't know the numbers. But, I mean, you know, go collect your $4 billion and, you know, play with something else. But if I owned the team and I had that much money, this is exactly why I would have bought the team, is to make that move.
Under Dabrowski would happen, and not something would happen under
that,
Ryan Blue.
We agree.
Do you think he watches the team every day? Because I don't.
No.
Okay. So that's a waste of time. So it just seemed like if I owned the team, I'd watch him every day, and I'd want to watch Juan Soto. It's as simple as that. It's all play money, and it's not, you know, a world war. It's you're building a baseball team.
No, Rich, we're all in agreement. The Red Sox aren't going to do
this. No, they're not going to do it, but I would do it. I absolutely would do it because I'd want to see him play.
It would be fun, as I said, to drop him. You know, right now you have three good hitters in your lineup, and he would make it four, and you have one of the all-time great players of his generation hitting third in your order. I think it would be really fun for 2 years. Be great.
I have a strange nervousness about the trade deadline because I think that this season's lost. After the whole Chris Sale situation, I think that there's – not lost, but nobody's going to fool themselves into thinking that they can win more than one round of the playoffs, luckily, if they do end up making it. I mean, if they do. But
I don't know. Jason Mastrodonato was singing a different tune.
Well, I mean they have a lot of money invested in this team.
It doesn't mean they're good. You know,
no. I couldn't agree more. I think worse of this team than you do, Rich. Somebody even with a healthy Sale, I didn't think they were necessarily going to go very far.
It's just, I mean, I don't know how you, because I'm there. Unfortunately, last year was a little bit of a screw job where there is this illusion that maybe, just maybe, they'll be able to pull a miracle out of their ass like they did last year.
Yep.
And I just think that was just something that was Halley's Comet. You're not going to see that happen again for 2 years in a row. You're just not, especially when you look at the pieces that are out there. And as you said, you know, when injuries and, you know, when all those things, you still have players that shouldn't be playing in the position that they're playing in right now.
They have five guys that aren't on the roster of a major league franchise getting regular at-bats at this point. thanks to injuries. And even when people get healthy and you're able to get rid of the Jaren Durans and Jeter Downses of the world, you still have Franchi Cordero, you still have Bobby Dalbec, and you still have Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yeah, three
big holes at the bottom of that order.
And, John, I don't know how anyone can look at this team, despite their record, and think that a team that hasn't won one series all year against the AL East,
you're 12-26 against the division. What makes you think magically you're going to turn on a dime and win 26 of your next 38 against the same competition?
Yeah, but what are you really getting if you sell at this point?
Well, no, and that's a decent question. You know, because I think most likely they'll just sit. Like they won't add. They're not going to sell. I mean, you could probably get something for like J.D. Martinez. If you didn't want to, of course, do the big trade, which, of course, is Xander Bogaerts.
I'd certainly entertain offers for him. Whatever you can get, I would open up and say, okay, I would take calls on him. Absolutely, at this point. Same thing with J.D. Martinez. Is a team desperate enough to give me their top prospect or a pitcher that I can slot right into my rotation that's good, I would definitely entertain that offer at this point. Sure. I mean, I think they know they're not fooling anyone with Bogaerts. I think they understand that the fandom is smart enough to realize that Xander Bogaerts isn't going to be back here next year. So why not take calls on him?
I don't know how much you're going to get for him at this point. You could have traded him at the beginning of the year and gotten Nolan
Gorman.
Well,
no, that's when they thought they were going to win. Now that they're sure they're not going to, it's changed a little bit. They came into this season thinking they were going to win. They went to the American League Championship Series last year. So
I don't know.
They thought they were going to win this year.
I just don't know what you'd get for them, and it's not worth the – I'd rather have them for the last couple months of the season.
Someone said, would you rather pay Soto or wait a year for Ohtani to become a free agent and offer him as much money as you can?
Soto's going to be cheaper. Soto will be cheaper than that guy.
That contract, I mean, it's going to make Patrick Mahomes' contract look like nothing. Yeah. I mean, he's going to get – he'll get at least $500 million for his contract. It'll be easily the biggest contract in baseball history. As long as he doesn't get injured between now and then. I mean,
sure.
There's no question. Yeah. That's going to be it. And Fred, you said it better than anybody. You should pay him two contracts for being able to play both sides of the plate like he does. I mean, he should be twice the amount of a star player because he's a star player in both aspects, hitting and pitching.
Well, Ohtani is – it's just who signs last. Who's going to make more, Soto or Ohtani? If Soto signs after Ohtani, he'll make more than Ohtani. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more Toucher and Rich. And whatever this is.
This sort of Dan and Rick Flair on nepotism.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, we are the Toucher and Rich radio program. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Today we've gone on lengthy discussions of the band Bread. We have talked about how Mac Jones is totally buff now.
Mm-hmm. He even spoke about it at an ice cream event, which was a little bit of a trick for him because he had to say just how bad it was that he was eating ice cream while still not pissing off the people who were paying him to speak about ice cream.
But his dad's a big ice cream guy.
That's what he had to throw that in there. It's not me, but my dad is. So.
And he said sometimes he wants the taste of ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
He said, which is understandable.
The fascinating. I can't get over the fact that dude was one of the best quarterbacks in the NCAA, and guy was just still chubby. He's a chubby dude, and then he hits the NFL and is around people who know what they're doing. They say that's not going to fly around here, and all of a sudden the pounds just fall off, and now Popeye arms, as they are saying about him right now.
So you know a guy who saw him on Cape Cod and said he had Popeye arms.
Saw him in person. Came into his store and said it was Popeye arms. That's how it was described. He said noticeably, not just the fat being gone. He said the first thing you noticed was his face. And I guess that's true. When you lose weight, the face is the first thing to really show it. And he goes, you know, he's got like a jawline, like a pronounced jawline now. And then his arms, he's rocking the Popeye arms. So he is putting in the work. As they say, not eating, dieting right. Yep.
When he came in, was there a presence, a charisma about him?
When well, he everyone knows where Mac Jones goes. It's just pure charisma.
I mean, he is the Joe Namath of our times.
I mean, if you thought that Joe Montana was boring when he spoke, oh, Mac Jones, get ready. That dude, he makes
He's
Joe
so
Montana.
Boring. It doesn't make sense, a lot of the things that he says.
So if you didn't hear it, Mac Jones was at an event for Hood Ice Cream, giving out ice cream. I think it was in Charlestown this past weekend. And Phil Perry was there to talk about, you know, hey, you're noticeably in better shape than you were at the end of the season. And here's what Mac Jones had to say.
I mean, I've definitely improved my diet, but, you know, after you work really hard, it's not bad to just sit down and eat some ice cream. So every once in a while, it's like a little cheat meal. But I got it from my dad. He eats ice cream all the time. So I always have a little bit of ice cream flavor that I want to get, and you know, it's just all fun and games. So I'm just happy to be here. That was one of the things
what the hell is he talking about? Is this a bunch of different questions and we just took out the questions, or is this him just rambling?
That's him rambling. That is him.
Sometimes want ice cream flavor. I'm just happy to be here.
What is wrong with him?
He's
a mental
boring.
Patient.
He's already boring, and he's then been put through the Bill Belichick school of talking to the media, which makes you double boring.
I mean, it's nonsensical. He's just talking, and it sounds like you've cut a bunch of you cut the questions out. It sounds like it's just you've taken him answering a bunch of different questions.
It's just the sound bites together.
Together. Oh boy, Bill won't like it if I say I like ice cream. Oh boy.
Who told us, Fred, that he went to a psychiatrist or a sports psychologist to be able to keep himself totally like chill and in that state of
panic? It's breathing exercises and things like that to keep you
calm. But he
calm.
Did that from a very early age. It's like they knew he was going to be someone who played at a high level when he was older. So from an early age, from what somebody told us, and I forget who it was, that he was going to somebody who taught. So he is already sounds like he's stoned when he speaks after games, just way.
Oh, he's not a Buddhist monk. No, what they taught him to do was no. The breathing it's what he does on the bench. It's just simple breathing exercises to lower your heart rate and try to get the physical feelings of nervousness down. Let's not confuse him with a guy who's meditating 18 hours a day. No, he sounds boring because he is all jumbled up. He's a boring guy anyway, he can't edit his words properly.
I don't know. It's not bad. I like taste ice cream. I mean, I'm happy to be here. Oh, God, why'd you come?
I like ice cream too much.
I'm going to marry a girl I knew since I was two. Right when I get all my millions.
Are they already married?
I don't know. But that's what these guys seem to do. Yeah. These hillbillies, they marry the girl that they grew up with.
You should hear Giardi talk about him. Giardi is, I mean, you thought that he was a bit, you know, somewhat enamored with Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that you got Mac right now. He's the guy. There's a clip I might have to pull later on where he was, you know, talking about, dude, this guy in the offseason, he is putting in the work. He has got everyone. I mean, it's Mackie. What's up, Mackie J? And, you know, they're all the teammates, all of it's like Stitty. It's almost like Stitty 2.0. But I mean, you can't deny that he looks completely different now. He does look transformed. And as I said, I think it's just from not eating crap. I don't even think it's the working out. It's just that you don't eat ice cream and you don't drink soda. That stuff just falls off of
you. Can he run faster and throw further? Can we do those things?
Maybe you can throw further. I mean, I think if you've got built up your strength.
Great.
And listen, probably your stamina, I would think, helps as well when you're not pulling around that much fat.
He got hit enough where he wanted to make – he got hit by men enough that he wanted to make sure that he could withstand it. That's the main thing.
Well, what did Ted Johnson call it? Like his own – he had to build up his body armor? Isn't that what he said? Yeah, and I mean, it's true. You got to make sure that you're able to take those hits and build some muscle.
I mean, Zach Wilson did the same thing. I think once you start getting hit in the NFL, your attitude changes a lot. And you figure, I better put this work in or I'm going to get killed.
I can't think of a player in the NFL that people have gone from not liking to rooting for quicker than Zach after you had the old situation where he was hooking up with his mom's best friend. Now everyone's an emotional favorite.
I would think a lot of these athletes are banging their mom's friends.
Really?
Like a lot of these guys
rampant across
a lot of these guys. Yeah, well, no, just if you're a star athlete, you're a star athlete, you're in good shape, you're a good looking kid. You're maybe not from the best area in the world. I mean, you know, the women have Zach Wilson's mom's young. You know, women have kids at an early age. So they're not that much older than you. So the woman's 40 and you're like 18. Mm-hmm. You don't think that these guys are banging their friends' moms?
Or their mom's
friends?
They're too busy.
Or their friends' moms.
Either one.
They're too busy around people their own age. I mean, you know, if you're the quarterback. Well,
you want a MILF. You want a grown woman. You're too busy.
Yeah,
there's
Rich.
No such thing. When you're 18, there's no such thing as you're too busy. Oh, no, I've had way too much sex already.
There's too much of that. Like, why? I guess
there's not too much of anything.
No,
I mean, if there's the forbidden fruit, I mean, there's Far Side is saying about it. Kwame saying about banging his mom's friend.
You want the final frontier, Rich. You want the undiscovered country. That's what you want.
I mean, telling an 18-year-old like, "Oh no, I've had far too much sex already."
I wonder if his mom introduced him.
Oh, of course
they probably were. She was around from when he was a young boy.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing.
We know the history. We now know kind of what her relationship was.
No. But if it's her best friend, I would take it that they've known each other for a while. Zach Wilson's a young man, and he probably went over to she came by the house and. He said, "Mom's not home," and he said, "But you can come in." Yep. And he said, "Would you like something to drink?"
That's when the music starts. Yeah, in my mind, anyway. That's when the music starts.
Depends on what decade you're watching.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah,
not a lot of music nowadays.
Right, right.
Now it's all gonzo stuff. I don't care for it. Where the woman will dance and then the man will just show up, and then there's no story. There's no. Yeah. Believability, it just is. It's real disservice. I mean, it's long for the days of the MILF hunter, where he would spend a half an hour with his friends. You know, they'd at least go to a cafe and sit outside and wait for the MILF to return the shopping cart and strike up a conversation.
So, what are you doing later?
Yeah,
you're anywhere.
You're 5'4". I can't resist. Let's go have sex now.
Yeah.
He was a hunter.
No, he didn't dress like a hunter. He dressed like you or I.
Huh. Oh, so they didn't do any theatrics. They just very lazy.
No.
He's always on the prowl, Rich.
No, but he had a buddy with a camcorder, and they'd be sitting there, and then he'd spot a MILF, and he'd go, "Look at that MILF over there," and then over the course of the half an hour, they'd meet. There'd be the car ride back to his house. Then there would be the...
Have you ever watched that whole half hour?
Oh, man. Nah.
Because that might be where the gold is.
I mean, if you wanted to go through several MILF hunters and... because there always would have to be he hooked the MILF, but... Judging by the guy's looks, and the way he was dressed, you would not think that a MILF would be so ready to go. But I guess in South Florida, they're very horny, according to them. And it was annoying, too, because his friend, wouldn't shut up. Like, even when they were having sex, he'd be talking to the MILF hunter. And he'd be like, "Oh, MILF hunter's friend, stop it." And Milf Hunter's friend was like the ultimate hype man. He'd be like, yeah, Milf Hunter. Yeah. Have sex with that Milf.
Somebody says Mac Jones sounds like Hank Hill. He does a little bit. He does sound a little bit like Hank Hill.
Yeah. Oh, boy, I like to taste ice cream. I sure do. Scooby.
All right, Rich, what's coming up in the stack? We've already
Believe
discussed
it or not, the Celtics are once again on the clock. D.A. would approve. A UFC star is now making big money. Mm-hmm. And Fred, the Beastie Boys finally get their due.
Well, pretty much, pretty soon, all of New York is going to be named after some hip-hop guy. All right, we'll be back in just a...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now,
that's hard on the ears.
More Tusher and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oof, I don't care for that at all.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
All right, guys. John's penultimate show from Dorchester.
Oh, yeah. Then on, have you tested all your stuff? Everything's good? You ready to go?
Tested it on Friday. The equipment at the house works fine. Now it's all about the camera on my laptop to see if we can make my location Twitch worthy. But yeah, we're set to go.
Some dude working on our new studio just sent me a tweet the other day of what it looks like. Mm-hmm. It wasn't someone from the station. It was someone who was just working on it. It's like, hey, here's what your new place looks like right now. I'm like, oh, okay, looks all right. And right now it's, you know, a big empty spot where it's marked on the floor almost like a, you know, a dead body outline of where our new console is going to be. So it's, oh, what it's supposed to be. It seems like they are ahead of schedule, I believe.
Okay.
All right, ahead of schedule.
That would be that when I see it, yes.
Listen, they have to. They have
no
to
rush now.
I think they pay double rent. If it's not just double rent, but there's like a penalty rent if they're not out by a certain time in this current building that you're in right now, John. So yeah. There you go. One more day. I'm sure it'll be very emotional tomorrow.
Yes, right.
Is all my stuff still there?
Actually, it's interesting you ask that because Nick put everything into a box this morning. So it remains safe and sound and no one would take it.
Oh, well, thank you, Nicholas.
Including the popsicle sign, which I guess is coming. Yes.
Oh, all right. Nice.
Well, that's worth keeping.
Don't have a stroke.
I did a walkthrough on Friday to take a look, or Thursday to see what was still there on my last day, and it took me approximately 40 seconds.
I'm less than that. Trust me.
Nope.
Yeah, mine was zero. I didn't do a walkthrough. I just
as long as the Wallachead makes it to our new station, I am perfectly fine. Well, ScreenRant.com, obviously written by people who like to rant about things on the screen, they came up with what they call the definitive list of the 20 funniest movie scenes of all time.
And
I look back, and this goes back to, I think the oldest one in here is from the 60s. There aren't many that we may not be familiar with. I think there's like two or three that I'm like, eh. But for the most part, these are films that are fairly popular and nothing too vague or strange. Now, personally, before we get to this list, the scene that makes me laugh every...
Is that him or me, John?
That's him. I can see him, and he just stops. So, Rich, we can see you. We just can't hear you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all.
There you go. Now we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Yeah, there's been some shenanigans on this line. People have been trying to dial in on this line for some reason.
Okay.
So there have been, out of all the scenes that they have put on here, there's two of them that are not, and they're my two favorite scenes of all time. Number one, the scene in Step Brothers where they're sleepwalking and they're told not to wake them up, and they wake the two, John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell, up, and he freaks out and throws them down the stairs. Makes me laugh every single time. And the scene in Dumb and Dumber where they walk in, wearing the suits and they have the canes. And then Jeff Daniels just smashes Jim Carrey's legs from behind. Always makes me laugh.
Oh,
those
right.
are probably two of my favorites. They all right, they're
gonna
the list.
They're gonna have a, something about Mary when his balls get stuck in the zipper.
That is that one is very high up on the list. That one yeah. comes in at number nine. The zipper scene from There's Something About Mary.
Even though that is just gross and not funny, what was the funniest thing line in that movie is when you know just walking around sniffing your own farts, and then Matt Dillon goes, "You what? You've been following me?"
The zipper scene was the first time you saw it in a theater was so outrageous.
Yes,
that I mean gross. that was cackling laughing. All right,
the Dumb and Dumber scene you talked about, Rich, wasn't even the funniest one in the movie.
No,
the funniest
the
one
diarrhea.
In the movie,
scene.
Yeah, the toilet scene's the funniest one,
and that actually made the list at number. I'm sorry, that is number two.
Oh,
the
sweet.
Toilet fiasco, yeah. which is a great scene, but it's not the one that makes me laugh the most in that movie. It's a great scene. Number two on this list.
How about the scene in Anchorman where he's asking out Christina Applegate and he has an erection?
Anchorman is on the list, but it comes in at number three with a different scene. What scene would it be?
Oh, boy.
Okay, the original Anchorman.
The original Anchorman that does come in the number three funniest movie scene of all time.
Oh, boy.
It's also probably one of the most famous scenes, and it was pretty funny.
It's that escalated quickly.
Yes, the newscaster brawl comes in at number three.
Please.
That was a pretty funny scene.
It's really bad in the second one.
Oh, the second one. I never saw that one.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. Oh, it's
no, Kanye West shows one. Up, right? Like it's
yeah,
like,
it's
yeah.
Kanye West and yeah. and Sacha Baron Cohen and Will Smith, and like it's just a bunch of celebrities. Yeah. It's stupid.
Also on this list, I'll go ahead and start at number 20. Number 20, Superbad, McLovin is born. I didn't find Superbad that funny. I'm weird. I know most people like it. And number 19, The Party. That's a movie I've never heard of. It's Peter Sellers. And number 18, a great scene. The ending credits from The Hangover. Just a great, great movie that blew it with its sequels. The sequels were so bad.
Oh, that's when they have the pictures of him pulling out the tooth and stuff?
It's like, let's see what actually happened, and then they go through the pictures. It's just a great, great way to end a movie. Number 17, a very funny movie. This not one of the best scenes. Office Space, and they have the printer murderer. The damn it feels good to be a gangster when they beat up the printer. Funny movie, though. Number 16, The Big Lebowski, the intro to Jesus when they meet him for the first time and he has to go door to door because he got in trouble with the law. And number 15, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. And that's the one where it's like his Johnson, his blah, blah, blah. And they use all the fake terms. Number 14, this is Spinal Tap, the Stonehenge scene. That scene is unbelievable. First time I saw that, I cackled laughing when they order the wrong side Stonehenge. Number 13, Fred. Borat, which scene from Borat?
When they're throwing the money at the cockroaches?
No, the naked fight, which was pretty great when that happened.
They're going for like the big chaos. They're going for chaos here, mm-hmm. not the subtle laughs. The best part of Borat is when they go to the bed and breakfast and they realize that the hosts are Jewish, so they start panicking. And think that they shapeshifted into cockroaches and start throwing money at the cockroaches.
You know, I haven't seen Borat in so long.
I watched it with my family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's great. It's not even an hour and a half. It's really good.
The Screen Rants ranked the funniest movie scenes of all time, in their opinion. Number 12, Tropic Thunder. It says hostage negotiation, but it's got a scene with Tom Cruise in it. There you go. Number 11, The Jerk. All I Need Is. I don't know what scene that is.
I remember that.
I don't remember that.
He's walking away from Bernadette Peters, and he's like, all I need is this chair. All I need is this chair and this water bottle. And he walks away doing that. That's
okay.
All it is.
Don't remember that. I don't remember much of that movie. Number 10, Vacation, the original one.
Zoe says hi. He's in the camera right here.
And what scene from Vacation do you think they chose?
Yes. Hi.
There's so much of that movie that I didn't understand.
Right. Yeah, when you were a kid, yeah.
Yeah, like, I, there was so much of that, like the incest and all that, I didn't get.
This is crazy.
That was funny, but I would say that probably one of the best scenes they chose it, and that's the one where he's trying to impress Christie Brinkley, and he's, like, eating the sandwich, and it was like, hey, the dog peed on all the sandwiches, and he spits it out.
Oh, okay.
That was a pretty funny scene. Number nine, as you said, there's something about Mary. Number eight, Spaceballs, the scene where they put in Spaceballs the video. That was pretty good.
Spaceballs
came out at the perfect age for
me. Seen it. Oh, I've seen the movie.
It's,
I know.
So horrible.
I'm just playing.
Mel Brooks is so not funny. He's just not funny at all.
By the way, speaking of Mel Brooks, you know what's not on this? The farting campfire scene from Blazing Saddles, which is legitimately one of the funniest movie scenes of all time. Oh, come on.
I saw the movie. I disagree. I think it's funny.
Yeah, but you saw it when you were like
50. The funniest movie of all time. The funniest movie scene of all time.
Number seven.
Farts are always funny. Come on.
Number seven, Animal House, Bluto Zit. For the funniest movie scenes of all time. Another Mel Brooks. Number six, Young Frankenstein, Abby Normal. I don't remember that scene.
I defy you to watch Young Frankenstein.
Abby, I've seen that. Abby Normal is when the guy with the hump comes in and says, you didn't replace her brain. You know, I saw the name on the jar. It was Abby. Abby who? Abby Normal. And he meant an abnormal brain. Not funny.
Mike Lockhart actually chiming in saying, old school when Farrell gets the dart to the neck might be the hardest I've ever laughed in the theater.
That's pretty good.
That scene's great.
Yeah.
And number five, another great scene, Bridesmaids, the food poisoning scene. That was very, very funny. Very, very funny.
Even though it's women and not, I mean, they're making boobs.
Yes. Number four, The Naked Gun 2.5, The Smell of Fear, the sex scene. I remember the first one where he just pulls off his clothes. I don't remember the second one.
Oh, how about MacGruber, the sex scene in the cemetery?
I mean, put that in my top ten. That's a cackle laughing one when I saw it.
Yes,
that.
I was, and I didn't like that movie, but I was cackling laughing at that.
You know what? It actually holds up pretty well. If you watch MacGruber now, knowing what you know, knowing you're not going in for like a laugh riot, it's pretty damn good. Number three, Anchorman, the newscaster brawl. Number two, Dumb and Dumber, Harry's toilet fiasco. And number one, a scene that I thought was very funny when I was a kid. Fred, I know you're going to hate this number one because it's a movie that you are not a fan of people who quote it. Although I am not a fan of people who quote this movie. If you are amongst let's say a LARPing convention. This is something that is quoted
yes, indeed. The mischief of Monty Python.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail, The Black Knight. It's just a flesh wound. We've all heard it. I'll bite your legs off. I remember the first time I saw that movie. I was once again a kid. I found it to be very, very, very funny. But
I just remember Monty Python being on late at night, me staying up and not being able to figure out what was going on. Not understanding any of it or how any of it was remotely funny.
I used to love Monty Python. I used to watch the TV show when they used to air it. Like, you know, reruns, obviously, not originally, but I loved it. One of my first album purchases was a Monty Python, like, live album that they did.
Yeah. I might as well be on another planet because I don't understand Monty Python's the appeal to it. They're like, oh, if you've ever seen. Who's the main guy in Monty Python?
John Cleese? Yeah. Michael Palin?
Yeah. Have you ever seen John Cleese do his parrot sketch? And then he does the, would you like to buy this dead parrot?
I don't know if you remember this.
And then you're like, what?
When you and I were kids, Fred, there was a film that came out that had a lot of the members of Monty Python in it. It also had like Sean Connery and like a bunch of fairly like big stars randomly. And it was done by the guy who did all the illustrations. It was I forget what the guy's name was. He's a famous director. He was in Monty Python, and he did all the illustrations. Terry Gilliam. And it was this movie called Time Bandits.
Mm-hmm. I walked out of it.
Ooh, that is one of the most depressing, like scary. It's supposed to be a kid's movie, and it's basically these little people who kidnap this boy out of his room. And they go into all these like really depressing scenarios, and then like at the end of it, his parents try to save him, but this demon like disintegrates him. It was right in front of the kid.
Everything that Gilliam did, I hated. I hated The World According to Garp.
That movie sucked. That was Gilliam.
That movie.
Yes,
Brazil was pretty wild.
Brazil, I can't stand. Like everything he did, I can't stand it.
You know, like 12 Monkeys.
I don't know if I saw it.
Brad Pitt and Bruce Willis?
No, I don't think I saw it.
That's
I don't. Good. We don't share the same aesthetic, me and Mr. Gilliam.
Yes, he is. That is. That was a weird. I remember. I mean, boy, there were some really twisted kids movies back in the day that they made, or that they just called like for children that were horribly, horribly disturbing. That was one of them. A movie that is not horribly disturbing, for what I hear, is the new Thor film that came in at number one with $46 million this weekend. It's already made almost $500 or $500 million internationally. And Top Gun's Maverick has made almost $1.3 billion globally. And it's moving up the all-time list. As a matter of fact, it has passed Iron Man 3 and is on the cusp of overtaking The Fate of the Furious, which I believe is one of the six Fast and the Furious movies in the top 20 to claim the number 20 spot. Dude, look at the list. It's MCU movies and Fast and the Furious.
Fast and Furious is Fast and Furious 8, I believe.
Fate of the Furious?
Fate of the Furious is number 8.
I remember that one sucking, and I liked the Fast
Charlize
and the Furious.
Thrawn is in that. Jason Statham.
Not good. If it's got The Rock in it, it's a great Fast and the Furious
movie. It does have The Rock. Does it have The Rock in it? Yes, it does. It does have The Rock in it.
Are you sure? Or was that the one with John Cena?
No. That's number 9. The one F9. With The Rock where he, you know, there's a torpedo on the ice and he reaches out and directs the torpedo.
That's The Rock.
Yes, that's The Rock.
The Rock's the one who directs the torpedo.
No, what I'm saying is
direction.
That's Fast and Furious 8. The Rock is in that. That's my point.
Are you sure?
Yes.
No, Charlize Theron, where she blows up the cars that shoot through the thing, is number 8.
I'm telling you, they're both in it.
Because that's the ice race. Number 8 is the... Which one's the one where he's in the cast and he's in the hospital?
That's
goes,
7.
Daddy's got to go to work. And
that's
he flexes
7 where he crashes the ambulance into the drone. Yes.
Yeah.
That's 7.
That's the thing about a street fight.
8.
The streets always win.
Enough out of you.
All right.
Zolak.
Sup, Zoe?
Tomorrow's my last day, Zoe. Tomorrow's my last day here. I know. I can tell you're heartbroken by it. Why do you keep hitting me? Stop hitting me. All right.
He's really punching you.
He's punching me. I could file for workers' comp here. Where's HR? Right. The building's empty, though, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have much luck with HR right now.
Oh, they are here. Oh, good. I can go downstairs. Excellent.
All right. Well, listen. That'll do it for us. Everyone, go buy an album by the band Bread and get loose and cry in your kitchen while you drink your vodka drink. Do it for us. Everyone, have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.